Well, this morning, we are going to look at the final three requests that Jabez makes. As we learned a couple weeks ago, Jabez had several strikes against him. His future was bleak. While it says he had character, he came from a very dysfunctional family. He was reminded every day of his name that his mother gave him pain. He didn't have a father to speak of. Their family, from what all we can gather, was probably among the poor of Israel. His destiny was wrapped up in the name that his mother gave him, which meant pain or causes sorrow. And there are many people that you and I know, and maybe you're one of those people, that you're bound by the name that you've been given in life. Weakling, stupid, abused, ADHD, ADD, ODD, troublemaker, introvert, extrovert. And we could add oh so many adjectives here this morning. And you might be here even today, and maybe you're living your life in the shadow of the name that you have been labeled by throughout your life. But as Jabez teaches us anything, it is this: your name is not your destiny, and your past does not determine your future. Your name is not your destiny, and your past does not determine your future. I want you to get that deep in your spirit this morning. Jabez, though he had so much against him, did not allow those names to determine the destiny that he believed God had for him. He didn't want to stay where he was. And so he asks God to break the cycle of dysfunction and despair that hung over his family tree. And instead of settling for mediocrity and the status quo, he asks God to boldly unleash the blessings in his life and to shower in his life divine favor like a torrential rainfall. And folk, I want us to know this morning that the same desire that Jabez had and the same answer he received is yours and mine today. As a church, we've declared 2018 to be a year of reset. God is calling us to reset our lives back to the place where he's called us to be. The resettling of our lives and the church and our church begins by resetting our priorities. And the first priority we are resetting is the priority of prayer. And so for the last 21 days, we have been embarking on a journey called 21 Days of Prayer. And today to next Saturday, we enter into our final week of this journey. And each day of this journey, people have been trickling into the church throughout the day from Monday to Friday and then on Saturday evenings, just calling on the Lord. Some for their own needs, their family needs, some for our church, some for our nation. But people have been coming into prayer. And I know many of you have been joining with us even in your homes. But I want us to understand something, that if we are going to see a reset in our church, in our community, and in our nation, it begins as we prioritize God in prayer, not just by ourselves, but as together as a congregation that we call on him. And so on Saturday evenings, we've been having a very special emphasis. And last night in the prayer room, I was sharing with the people how I believe that God is calling us to go into higher levels and deeper depths in prayer. And as we call on the Lord and allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us and speak to one another, to encourage one another. And I encourage you, even this Saturday, we are going to gather in this room as we conclude, as we begin to bring our week 21 days to a conclusion, and we are going to allow God to speak to us. And then next Sunday morning, normally in our church, for those who are visiting, normally we have communion at the beginning of the month. This month, to conclude our month, our 21-day journey, we're having communion next Sunday morning. And we are going to be sharing different things that God has been speaking and doing in the lives of people during this time of prayer. And then we are going to pray as a congregation. We're going to call out to God as a congregation for this coming year. How many think that's a good thing? We don't just pray as individuals, but throughout the Word of God, you see things happening because people came together to pray with and for one another. And so that's what we're going to emphasize next week. The theme that we have been using throughout this journey, and the theme that I feel God has given us for 2018 is from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you've got it in your Bibles, it's also going to be on the screen. I'd like us to read together at verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. 2 weeks ago, we shared together how the very first thing Jabez asks is for God's blessing. "Oh, that you would bless me and bless me indeed," Jabez cries out to God. Now, we look at this and we may think this is a rather redundant request. Who doesn't ask for God's blessing? Most of us here today began our day asking God to bless this day, asking God to bless the bacon and eggs and toast we had for breakfast. Several this morning were in the prayer room asking God to bless our service and to bless the pastor as I would preach. But let me remind you that Jabez is not asking for a one-time feel-good experience. He is crying out to God with his whole heart, "God, I cry to you to bless me indeed." In other words, bless me, then bless me some more, then bless me again. God, give me everything you've got. Many are hesitant to pray this kind of bold prayer. There are some who do not ask for God's blessing because they don't realize they can. They can pray for the pastor to be blessed. They can pray for the church to be blessed. They can pray for the missionaries to be blessed. But for some reason, they feel that they can't pray and ask God to do the same in their own lives. Then there are others who feel that out of fear and guilt that they're unworthy to ask for God's blessing. And still some others presume that it's being selfish to ask God to bless you. Well, I want us to understand something this morning, that this kind of prayer is not being selfish, it's being obedient. It's not being selfish, it's being obedient. Listen to how Jesus exhorts his followers in Matthew chapter 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." Ask, seek, and knock. And not just once, not just twice, but keep on going, because we have the assurance, even Jesus says, that God will answer us. You see, prayer is nothing more and nothing less than conversing with the Father and expecting him to answer. You see, it's the Father's desire to bless you. So I challenge you this morning to take that step of faith and obedience and simply ask. Just ask. Now, what was the specific blessing that Jabez was seeking God? Well, he says, Lord, bless me and enlarge my territory. He was asking God to bless him and to expand his influence of ministry. In the world that Jabez lived, land was marked by unmovable boundaries that had been divided among the tribes and families of Israel. It is commonly felt by many Bible scholars that Jabez was among that generation who had been born in the wilderness, but were permitted to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And God gave to through Moses specific boundaries where each family was to set their stakes. What's fascinating, and I thought of this only this morning, that if that is true. And one of the interesting things to note about Jabez, of the 500 names that are mentioned in chapters 1 through 9 of 1 Chronicles, Jabez is the only one where his father is not mentioned. We are not told why, we can only speculate. But the thought came to me this morning was, if indeed Jabez was part of that generation, it is not too difficult to imagine that perhaps his own father may have been one of that generation in the wilderness under Moses who had rejected Joshua's call to go into the promised land, and they wanted to stay where they were. And as a result, God said in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, God said to that generation who refused to step out in faith that they will not enter the land. They will not have any land. And so there would be a generation born in the wilderness who would. And maybe it was his dad that was part of that generation that didn't get the chance to come into God, the fullness of God's promise. And it got me thinking that if that were the case, here was a young man who had no title, no deed. He had really very little right to even ask God for anything. He was going into God's promise, going into God's will with absolutely nothing, and yet he has the boldness of faith to say, God, give me this territory. And don't just give it to me, expand what you give me. Expand my influence. Now, what's interesting about this word enlarge or expand is that it can also mean multiplying. The word territory actually means a cord. And it carries with it the idea of a border that has a rope around it to let everyone know its dimensions and limitations. You know, we see this every day too, especially here in Sydney, where there are so many new developments springing up out of nowhere. And there's one in particular, and it's right across the road from where you live, Sigrid and Elizabeth, where they took down a couple houses and they're putting in 16 homes in this one lot. And if you go there, you will see the colored orange stakes all in the ground, and some of them have already been lined out with that special tape, signifying this is somebody's property. And that's precisely what Jabez is referring to here and what he's praying about here. And what he's saying is, Lord, I want you to take that tape and I want you to expand it and multiply it so that as many people as possible can come under the influence of where you have blessed me. That's what he's asking for. That's what God is calling us to do. Jabez was calling on God to expand his boundaries, to expand the boundaries that had been imposed upon him by his name. He wanted the rope repositioned and his boundaries blasted out. He wanted his impact intensified and his ministry multiplied. He didn't want to be known as pain or one who causes sorrow. He wanted his destiny not to be in his name, but in the blessing that God was going to pour out in his life. And he wasn't going to hold back any longer, but he was determined to move out for God and to make a difference. What Jabez was praying was, Lord, don't just give me property. That wasn't his goal. His end goal wasn't real estate. His end goal was that the boundaries of his life would be expanded so much that God would pour out so much blessing that everyone who is within the boundaries of his blessing would also be touched by the blessing of God. He wanted to impact his community, his family, his city, his nation. He wanted to be entrusted with more so that he could give more of God's blessing to others. And when you ask God to bless you, when you ask God to expand your boundaries, you are asking God and believing God to break you out of whatever has been limiting you. If you're in the grip of a bad habit or feel tethered to the tentacles of your past, I call you to ask God to expand your territory, your boundaries, your impact. Don't settle for just plodding in life, but believe that God is going to make a difference through your life. See, the problem is that many of us settle for way too little in our service for God. God wants to blast us out of our boundaries. Just think about this for a moment. Can you imagine what would happen in this church if we were turned loose to pray and believe and serve with the same kind of faith that Jabez demonstrates here? Can you imagine what would happen if we believed God that he was able to move us out of the bondages of our past and to be a blessing to everyone around us? Can you imagine what would happen if just as we go into this week, if we are able to bless just one person and to bring that one person back here, folk, in less than 3 weeks, we would be meeting at the Mary Winspear Center. And folk, we're not about numbers. Don't misunderstand me. The point I want to make is that God wants us to be a blessing. But to be that blessing, we must take the step of faith to cry out to God, to ask him for that blessing, and to believe him to expand our boundaries. How has God blessed our church already? We are a blessed church. Would you agree with that? Let me share with you some of the ways that God is already blessing this community and world through our church. Presently, Highway Christian Fellowship supports 11 missionary families and organizations. We have missionaries serving as Bible translators in restricted access nations. We have missionaries serving youth in Thailand. And how can we forget the villages of Hope, Wetoto, and Erdo? At home, we support organizations such as Teen Challenge, helping at-risk men and women break free from drug and alcohol addiction. One of the most exciting ministries we support is the Big Blue Bus, reaching out to the First Nations around the peninsula. I received this encouraging email from Judy Lacey this week. We've been praying together for Rick Wismer that the boundaries of the ministry of the Blue Bus would be enlarged and that there would be an increased openness to the word among the First Nations communities. We've prayed that doors that were once closed would be open. Well, listen to this email. And if you want to get up and shout, I give you permission. Yesterday, Rick Wismer told me that the Blue Bus Ministry has been asked to go back to Pekachin again. Apparently, the youth that we used to see have grown up and now want us back for their children. The youth worker in Sachem and Rick are working out a possible combined program. The need for volunteers is great. Pekachin has about 900 people living there compared to Sachem's 150. We have close to 20 children and youth at Sachem that we see. Many of them have Bibles now and more are wanting them. There is a growing excitement over the God Talk videos. The children are also giving prayers of thanks. Thank you for praying. The door is open, but requires prayer to keep it open and for protection for the young minds. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Folk, we are making an impact in the world and in the peninsula. Then there's the impact that our church is making within our own community. At last year's annual general meeting, we shared with you some of the exciting goals and visions that we had for this past year in reaching our community. Since then, and as we have been praying this prayer, we have been able to bless this community with the big give. We have opened up our parking lot to the children in our community for hockey, hot dogs, and highway nights. This past Christmas season, we almost filled this church with Christmas in Sydney. What a great time that we had. In fact, it was just the other day, I forget where Sue and I were, but there were two people that approached us and again said how much they enjoyed that night. We are touching this community. We've launched a new Sunday school class for our middle-aged children. And this is all because people have prayed, supported, and are serving and believing with Jabez to bless us indeed, and God expand our territory. You're going to be hearing in the next few weeks how I believe God wants to expand our boundaries even more. As we begin a basic foundation study for new believers as well as older believers. We are thanking God for the ministries that our ladies are doing, especially with her night out. Folk, we are praying and looking to God for how we can do this even more. Folk, God is moving, and God wants to move even more through you. Folk, the time to stop praying is not now. The time to continue to pray is now. I remember not that long ago, but when I was in high school, there was one prayer, and I think I may have shared this before, but there was one prayer that God would always answer without fail. That when I dared to pray each day, Lord, bring someone along my path that I can encourage and help. Every day I prayed it, God answered. I had no idea then that I was actually praying Jabez's prayer, expand my territory. You want to know why God loves when we pray this prayer? Because he loves Sydney. He loves the children at the elementary school that Sue reads with every week. He loves the mid-school right next door. He loves Parkland High School. He loves the residents living at the Shoal Center and the various condos that make up our community. Folk, he loves it when we pray this prayer because he loves this town. And because he loves this town, he is waiting for sons and daughters of his who will dare say, God, give me this territory. Bless me indeed. Expand my ministry. And this is what Jesus says in Luke 6:33, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, God wants to give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. Are you willing to be blessed today? Are you willing to ask today? Well, not only do we ask for his blessing, not only do we ask him to bless me, but if we want to pray like Jabez, then we also need to pray, Lord, stay with me. Let your hand be with me. Did you notice the progression here? Notice with me the progression of his prayer. When we ask God to send spiritual favor, he will shower us with his blessing. These blessings are then transformed into ministry opportunities as we transfer our blessing to others. And when God expands our ministry, I don't know about you, but it gets scary. Because more and more opportunities come. We were talking about it this week in the office, and I shared with the different prayer groups this week how when we have a concerted period of prayer, it never fails to amaze me that the amount of energy and ministry multiplies. Every time. Whether it's a week of prayer, 21 days of prayer, but that when our church gives itself to prayer, the opportunities of ministry just kind of boom, they explode. And folk, when that happens, we need to know that God's with us. We need to know that His hand is upon us. What does it mean to have God's hand on us? When we ask for God's hand to be with us, we are really asking Him for four things. We are asking Him for His power. Do you remember what Jesus said to His disciples when He gave them the Great Commission? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize and to make disciples. Here were 11 men who were scared out of their minds. Jesus, how do you expect us to change the world? And then the very next thing He says is, wait here in Jerusalem and pray, and I will ask the Father to send you the promise that you have heard. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says that He would pour out His Spirit on his disciples, and they would be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Folk, we can't do God's work without His power. And so it says in Exodus 15, your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. And with His power, we enjoy His presence. In Psalm 18:35, your right hand sustains me. When I'm going through the blessing of God, and with that blessing will come challenges along the way, I need His presence to encourage me. Not only do I need His presence, but I experience His protection. The enemy is out to get us, but folk, aren't you glad that God's right hand holds us fast? He holds us in the palm of His hands and will not let go, but He provides for us everything we need to serve Him. God is powerful. His presence is with us. He protects us. He provides for us with an open hand. And yet some will still say, oh, Pastor, that's good for you. That's good for Lola. She's a saint. And, you know, God will work in her life. God will work in Topps' life. God will work in Stephen's life. But, Pastor, you know, I'm just me. I want you to think about this. If I had a basketball here and I could show it to you, that basketball at Walmart would be worth about $20. But you put that same $25 basketball in the hands of LeBron James, the greatest basketball player to ever grace the courts. And immediately that basketball multiplies to the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's the same basketball with the same air and the same bounce. What makes the difference? The difference is whose hand is on the ball. And folk, if you are here today and you are saying, oh, I can't do what God wants me to do, I'm no one special, I want you to rebuke that in Jesus' name, because it's not LeBron James' hand that's on your life. It's the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, and he lives forever at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for you, pouring out his blessing on your life. And folk, when the hand of God is on you and me, believe me, it's going to be apparent upon everyone. God, in all of his glory and majesty and splendor and awesomeness, wants to put his hand on you. He wants to carry you through each and every situation. He wants to give you his presence, his provision, his protection, and his power today. His hand is on your life. It's like the story that I read this week of the young girl and her father walking through a cave. The father reached out to help his little girl around some rocks that were in the path. Just then the lights of the cave went out and they were in complete darkness. The father called out to her, "Don't be afraid, I'm right here." And she replied, "I'm not afraid, Daddy. I know you're right here because you have my hand." When God's hand is upon you, you don't need to be afraid. God's power is mighty. He can still heal the brokenhearted today. He can still give sight to the blind. He can still make the lame walk. He still restores souls. And so we can pray, "Lord, put your hand on me. Give me your power. Let me live in your presence." God wants to give you his power today. But not only does he want to give you his hand, he wants to give you his protection. Jabez's final request is for God to take evil away as he prays, "Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." The New King James Version translates this, that you would keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. Jabez, I believe, understood the pain that sin could bring to himself and others. He lived a life under the shadow of being a pain. And he didn't want that shadow to be cast over anyone else. He understood that in order for this to happen, he needed to return to God and trust him for his salvation. And so he says, "God, keep me. Protect me." You see, Jabez knew that as he prayed for God to bless him, as he prayed for God to put his hand on his life, as he prayed for God to expand his territory, that there was still something in him that would want to say, "Go your own way. Do your own thing. It won't hurt anyone. Go ahead, click that picture on the computer screen. Go ahead, talk about that person behind their back. Go ahead, send that tweet. Go ahead." Jabez knew the power of temptation that would draw him away from God. And so he prays, "God, keep it away from me." And folk, there isn't a person in this room, including your pastor, that does not deal with this issue. And that's why Jesus told us to pray when it comes to mastering temptation. It's not by arguing with temptation, but it's by asking God to take it away. Jesus said in Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Notice Jesus didn't say, "Lead me through evil. Lead me through temptation." No, Jesus says, "Keep me away from it." Paula also understood the power of temptation, and so he writes to his young protege, Timothy, who was surrounded by temptation each and every day. And so as he writes to Timothy, he gives to Timothy this command to flee, not argue with, not to consider, not to get so close to the edge so that, well, you can identify with the people you're witnessing to. No. Paul says, flee youthful lusts. Now, in case you're wondering what Paul is saying there, let me give to you the exact Greek translation. What Paul is saying to Timothy is this. If it sounds good, tastes good, promises a good return, don't play with it, look at it, talk about it, confess it, turn around and hightail it out of there. Don't argue, don't go near it, but ask God to keep you from it. You might say, Pastor, why is this so important for us? Well, I know that the answer should be redundant, but there are still Christians today who think that, oh, if I just get close enough to the edge, it's okay. I won't go over the edge, but I'm going to get just close enough because, after all, I want to be able to witness with knowledge to my non-believing family and friends. So let's just get close enough to the fire that I might smell like smoke and be singed a bit, but I won't get burned. Folk, I believe that there is a call of the Spirit to the church today for a renewed holiness. I'm not speaking of a legalism of, you know, don't do this, don't do that, and you're not going to go with girls or guys that do. But a holiness of a recognition that we belong to God, we're God's, and we're going to live our lives as sons and daughters of God in everything. And if that means saying no to something, then we will say no. You see, there's another thing that we need to be aware of, and that Jabez also was aware of. You want to know when you need to pray this prayer? It's not when you're in the darkest valley, but it's when you're on the highest heights. When I was a youth pastor and we would take our kids to youth convention or a retreat, and we would have a wonderful time, and kids and our youth would come to the altars and they would have a great experience with God, some of them filled with the Spirit and they're on fire for God. No sooner did that happen, but in the following 2 weeks, we'd be losing some of these kids. And I'd call them up and find out what they're doing, how they're doing. And they were ashamed and embarrassed to say that no sooner had they gotten back to school that the following week of the convention or retreat, and temptation just was too much. Following the great flood, Noah and his family came out of the ark. And what happened after Noah built an altar of worship? The next scene is Noah asleep in a drunken stupor. When Joshua was conquering the land of Canaan following a great victory, he was duped by another enemy nation, all because the Bible says Joshua did not inquire of God. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was also prone to forgetting to ask for God's protection. And so following a time of peace, there, it was the season when kings would go out to war. And what was David doing? He was up in his bedroom looking over his balcony on Bathsheba when he should have been out supporting his soldiers. Here's the point. Never, ever, ever think that you're strong enough. Never. Because none of us here are strong enough. And if you're struggling with sin this morning and tantalized by temptation, then join the club. But you don't have to settle for it dominating your life. Claim 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful." Listen to this, folk. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. The key to the victory is when God shows you the door to get out, get out. So if you feel like you've messed up this morning, you're not alone. You're in good company today. It's never too late. Don't believe Satan's lies that your life is done. But folk, if you will come to him today, God can restore you. God can renew your salvation. If you'll come and repent and turn to him, God will restore your joy. He will bless you. He will overflow you with blessing. He'll expand your territory. And his hand will be upon you. Just call on him. Are you ready to ask him this morning? Are you ready to ask him? One final story, and then we're going to close in worship and prayer. As most of you know, this past, just before Christmas, my daughter Esther was engaged. We've been praying for this for several years, and we're so thankful. We're proud of her and Kyle, and we are looking forward to August 11th for their wedding day. Well, no sooner was she engaged, but we came home that night, and the first thing out of Esther's mouth was, "Mom is going to be coming and helping me pick a dress, right, Dad?" And she hasn't let us forget that. And so this past week, and she's paying for half of it, I'm paying for the other half of the airfare for Sue to go down to Ontario. But I had to call WestJet. I knew that there had been several sales that after Christmas, and of course, as every airline does, they say, "We've got an extension on our winter sale." And so I called them on Friday. The sale ended Thursday. So the date that my daughter wanted Sue to come, the price had gone from one amount to three times that amount. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm looking down the list of prices, and there was a price that was more amenable to me towards the end of February. So I went ahead, thinking I'm the wise dad, I went ahead and booked that flight. I'm so proud of myself. The tickets were sent to Sue's email, and I texted my daughter and said, "Honey, everything's set, except the dates changed from the 8th of February to the 29th, to the 22nd. Well, like lightning, she texted back, and folk, I could hear her voice in the text. "That's not the date I want her to come." So she asked for the itinerary. So I sent her a copy of the itinerary, and she texted back in a millisecond, "Well, I think if I pay to the difference, Mom can still come on the 8th. And so I said, "Who's going to argue with their daughter?" Said, "Okay, honey, if that's how you want to do it." I called back. I made arrangements. I was going to call WestJet back and change the date. So this happened at home. I came to the office, and among the first thing I did was I picked up the phone, dialed 1-800-WestJet, and I got that wonderful sound, "You're on hold." And not only was I on hold, but they said, "You're on hold for the next 30 minutes. And their docket was so full, I couldn't just give them my number for them to call me back. I had to wait. And I waited, and I waited. It was no more than maybe 10 minutes, but it seemed like 40 minutes, but I had to wait for that answer. And the young lady on the phone said, "Yes, sir, how can I help you?" I said, "You can help me very much. I'm about to be crucified by a bridezilla daughter. Please help me." Well, she laughed like you just did and said, "Yes, yes, yes, Mr. Juthman, I'd be happy to help you." And we were able to get all the dates rearranged for an even cheaper price than what had originally been booked. Here's the point. Jabez's life is summarized in two very succinct verses. And at the end of that verse, it says, "And God granted his request." You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say the date that God granted his request. It doesn't give the timeline between the moment Jabez prayed for God's blessing to his protection, to the multiplication of his boundaries. We have no idea how long it was. And I believe it's for this reason. Jabez didn't just pray a prayer for God to get him out of trouble once. He wasn't looking for a quick fix out of his difficulty and doldrums. No, the emphasis is on this, that prayer was an indication of the lifestyle that Jabez had given himself to. That this prayer was not a formula that he used to bribe God, but that this was a lifestyle that when people looked at Jabez, when people heard his name, the very first thing that they thought of, there goes a man of prayer. There goes a man of faith. There goes a man experiencing God's blessing. There goes a man who knows what it means to walk in holiness. There's a man who knows what it means to live what he believes. There's a man who believes God. And folk, that's the point of this prayer. And if we want to see Sydney transformed by the power of God, it's not just going to be formula prayers that we pray. It's not just going to be the set prayer times that we have from week to week and year to year. It's going to be that as a people of God, that we are living this each and every day, so that when people see us, they see there's Ike, there's a man who knows God. There's Sue, there's a woman who knows God. There's Elizabeth, there's a woman who knows God. They're going to see a people who not only talk about what God has done in the past, but they're going to see what God is doing right now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I'm going to invite the worship team to return to the platform, and they're going to lead us in a couple more songs of worship, and we're going to end this day in praise. Thank you, Lord.